Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc, or you're watching us live right now on facebook.com/talkradionyc if you want to bump over there if you're just watching or listening in on the radio feed. And been a couple of weeks since I was on. Actually, we ran a replay last week of the show from the week before because I was in the middle of a crazy 2 weeks professionally that professionally and personally that we're going to talk about today, because I want to talk about, obviously this show is about me and my life as an actor and as a businessman and all the things that I have going on, and about athletics, because I was formerly a NCAA Division I head coach for many, many years, until things went belly up. This week, if you saw my post about it earlier today, I want to talk about some lessons that were learned here in the last 2 weeks on these shoots, and just some good advice for other people who are actors or want to become actors. And just, you know, because people ask me all the time, like, dude, how do you juggle all these things? You know, how do you manage all of this? Because you've got, you know, obviously I'm flying back and forth across the country or around the country for either acting or my live entertainment company, you know, live sports and live music company, or I'm in Myrtle Beach with my construction company. You know, how do you juggle all those things? Here's how I do it. I'm not sure. Okay. But one thing is, I try to manage my time the best that I can. So one thing about me is I try to plan ahead, and I'm meticulous about planning my travel particularly. And this is part of like the whole thing I was going to talk about today, is how that planning keeps the wheels going. But at the same time, there's a lot of gambling in there on travel, particularly flight travel. And it almost landed me in a horrific situation this past week. And part of that, tied into all that, is, as I said earlier in my Facebook post about it, is American Airlines. They're not going to like this episode, I'm going to tell you right now. Now, I exclusively fly American Airlines. It's a rare, rare day that I fly on any other airline than American Airlines. So I exclusively fly. First of all, this is kind of like a groundwork for the entire story here. And it's important, and you'll find out why it's important here as we go on. But because I fly all the time, I fly over 100,000 miles a year. I fly it exclusively on American Airlines. I also made the decision a few years ago that from now on, I'm only flying first class. Now, I don't necessarily have to buy a first class ticket every time in order to be in first class, because I'm in the highest category of the Advantage program through American Airlines. So their loyalty program, essentially, or their mileage program. So since I'm in the highest, you automatically get upgraded to first class if there's a first class seat available, and it's done in a pecking order. And if you're in the highest classification, if there's seats available, chances are like 90% of the time you're going to get that seat. So I spend a lot of time figuring out, looking at the seating charts, figuring out my travel, trying to juggle all of these different things and the departure times, landing, where I'm going. Obviously, I have to be budget conscious, particularly since I'm only flying first class or trying to fly first class all the time. I have to be smart about, you know, because it can get really pricey, obviously, and I don't necessarily want that. But generally speaking, I'm pretty flexible in my travel. Well, and there are benefits to first class. Obviously, you accrue miles faster, and you get three free checked bags per flight. Okay, and in addition to that, they still serve booze in first class. P.S. So I can drink my way through about half of that ticket, to be honest with you. So here's the deal: my week, and these are all tied in together. All right, this entire story is tied in together. American Airlines, my acting advice, it's all tied in together. So when I'm submitting for job, submitting for acting gigs, or my agent or agents around the country, because obviously I have multiple ones going on, when we're submitting for dates, I know, generally speaking, about 2-3 weeks in advance what my schedule looks like. Things that I have to do for my other companies, times that we call it booked out. So like if you're booked out, meaning that you tell your agent, hey, I've got something else going on during this time, whether it's another acting gig that they didn't get me or whatever, please don't submit me for anything that films during this time. So you tell me you're booked out. So there's a lot of communication that happens. Obviously, I'm self-submitting myself for gigs. My agents are submitting me, and I have to communicate with my agents to make sure that they know when it is that I'm booked out. Now, I can be booked out, no production, but I can still take an audition during that time, which happens a lot. But this is part of the planning. So I know ahead of time the window of time that they're going to film these commercials or these gigs, whether it's a TV show, whatever. When you get your casting call, you see, and you have to pay attention to this. You see when the audition is, you see when and if there's a callback, if it's in person or if it's virtual. You see when there's a fitting, meaning a wardrobe fitting. You see when there's a COVID test, because there's always going to be a COVID test now. And you see what the production windows are in terms of when they plan on actually filming. So it'll be a range of time. Rarely it's actually a time, you know what I mean? So in any event, as it turned out, I ended up doing like about 30 auditions over the course of about 2 weeks. This happened maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago. So I was talking about it on those shows, like, man, I've had all these auditions. I hope things work out. Well, of course, now I end up booking like 4 gigs out of all of those auditions, 3 of which are national commercials, all right? 2 of them in LA and 1 of them in Atlanta. Their filming dates were arranged such that I could make all 3 of them happen, but I got to plan it, right? So here's what happens. I'm out in LA. I need to fly back because I had business to do back on the East Coast, and I had to get back because I needed to get down to Atlanta because on like a Monday, because I was filming a commercial on Saturday, and on that Monday they were doing the wardrobe fitting and a COVID test. Now I was filming in LA on Wednesday and Thursday. So, okay, I wrap up in LA. I fly back to the East Coast. On Monday, I used my frequent flyer miles to go back and forth to Atlanta from Myrtle Beach because it was only going to cost me like $5 and then, you know, a few thousand air miles. So I get a notification from the production company in LA that for the filming that's going to happen on Wednesday and Thursday, hey, we need you to do a COVID test on Monday. No problem, man. I'm actually already getting tested on Monday for another gig, and I'll just forward you the results. Okay, cool. So I get to Atlanta, and I'm not going to say what production these are or the production companies or anything else. So because, you know, I don't want to call anybody out, but this is part of the whole thing. It is part of the lessons, right? So I get the wardrobe fitting time. They say, you're the first appointment and it's at 11 a.m. So can you show up 30 minutes before that for your COVID test and we'll get you in and out. You're the first wardrobe fitting. Okay, cool. So I get down there and I get there at 10. So I get there an hour early. I go downstairs. They got the COVID test. Life is good. Swab, paperwork, etc. I go upstairs to where the ballroom is, where they're going to do the wardrobe fitting. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm all set. You know, whenever you guys are ready. Oh, yeah, well, we're running a little bit behind. You know, it's probably going to be closer to 11:30. No problem, you know. My flight back to Myrtle Beach to my place isn't until later in the afternoon, so I don't care. So I'm like, all right, listen, I'm going to be over in the restaurant area. It was at like a Hyatt Regency. There was a business / coffee area for business travelers. So I'm like, hey, I'll be over there. Just let me know. So 11:30 comes, nothing. I'm like, all right, it's interesting. Well, so I walk over there and I'm like, hey, you know, and I can see people going in and out. And I said, hey, you know, are we ready to go? Oh yeah. Well, actually we're a little bit behind. And I'm like, okay, how far behind? He's like, we're actually behind about an hour. And I was like, wow. Okay. I said, cause you know, my appointment was at 11 o'clock. I was the first one. I was the first guy here, you know, not complaining, but you know, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I haven't given her the list yet. So he hadn't even given the wardrobe lady the list of the people that signed. So people are just going in willy nilly. So he's like, okay, well, you know, it's going to be like another hour. I'll come and get you. Another hour goes by. He doesn't come and get me. I go back. I don't get into the fitting until 1:30. Okay. It was 11 o'clock appointment. I was the first one there. And I'm like, okay, you know, now here's the thing. You're on set. This is the production company. You know, I got to film with, I don't want to create a stink. That's not your job as an actor. Okay. Your job is adapt to what's going on. And if you got a complaint, this is why you have an agent. You just tell the agent, let them be the bad guy. Right. So, but I'm not even thinking like I'm going to say anything to the agent that booked it for me. And so, what I end up doing is, I'm like, okay, no problem. You know what I mean? So I do it. I head back to Myrtle Beach, and now it's time for me to fly back to LA so that I can film this commercial for 2 days. And I'm going to pick up, we got to take our first commercial break. I'm going to pick up from there in a second, because this is where things started to spiral a little bit. And there's a little anxiety involved here. And this is where American Airlines is not going to like it. So I'll be back in just a minute. I'm Kevin Barbro. You're listening to Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc. So just picking up where I was at. So I'm in LA. I fly back on a delayed flight PS, and this plays into what's happening later. I go Atlanta to back for my wardrobe fitting and my two COVID tests. And now it's time for me to head back to LA this is on Tuesday because I'm filming on Wednesday and Thursday. Now, when I make my travel plans, I make sure that I've allotted enough time. Now, I always fly into, because where I stay, I got a place in Studio City. So I either fly into Burbank or Ontario, California. I hate flying into LAX. I despise flying into LAX. I like going to small, and not to mention the fact that it's usually less expensive to fly in, and there's always first class seats available flying into the smaller airports. So I'm monitoring over the course of the day, because obviously I'm going to be filming on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's Tuesday and it's Tuesday afternoon. So I'm monitoring the flights to make sure that there's no weather issues. I'm checking the connections. Everything is cool. Everything's working like clockwork. Now, when I made my travel plans, I allotted for something to get screwed up. So I had two outs. So there were later flights heading to LA out of Charlotte, which is where I connect out of when I fly out of Myrtle Beach. So there were later flights just in case something happened. Also, because I'm monitoring it all day, and because I pay for the first class ticket, another benefit of paying for that ticket is the fact that you can change it anytime. There is no, it's not like buying a seat in coach that's a non-refundable ticket. You can change your flights if you got a first class ticket. These are refundable, okay? And so I could always, if it looked like the weather was going to be bad, I could leave early. And so I got everything lined up. I get to the airport. My flight is supposed to be at like, say, 4:15 or something like this. And I get there at 3 o'clock, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, unfortunately, this flight's now not going to depart till 7:30. And I'm like, what's going on? Oh, well, there's a mechanical issue. Now, I have heard this excuse. I'm telling you right now, like, I'm still going to continue to fly exclusively on American Airlines because it is convenient for me. I do like the airline. But the last couple of months, because I fly all the time, right? I would say multiple scenarios where things are getting screwed up travel-wise, and it's not the weather. They're getting blamed on the mechanical thing, which they think that nobody will complain about because why would you complain because they're making it safer? The reality is they're just saying that, you know? And then the other thing is crew issues. You know, I've had flights delayed for hours because they're waiting on crew to show up. So these are things that are avoidable. These are things that are not my fault and they're not the weather's fault. And so I'm checking in, the guy's like, you know, I can get you connected out there, but the only way that we can do it is if you, because this flight's not leaving until 7:30, is if you fly into LAX. All right, fine. You know, but my car, everything is, you know, 60 miles from there, but I have to get there. I mean, I got to film the next day. What am I going to do? Right. So that 4:15 flight is going to leave at 7:30. There's a 6:10 flight. So the guy's like, let me put you on the 6:10 flight and, you know, but you still got to fly to LAX. Okay, cool. I get up to the gate. We're waiting. I noticed that the original flight actually comes in. Now they've rebooked everybody from that 4:15 onto the 6:10 flight. So I said, because it looks like now that flight's going to leave at like about 15 minutes before the 6:10 flight. I said, you know, can you just put me back on the original Charlotte flight and I'll still make that connection. So I get on the flight and I tell the guy too, I'm like, listen, man, I hate to be the guy that complains because I'm not a complainer, but like, this is like the 7th or 8th trip in a row where something is getting screwed up and it's not the weather. And his response to me was, well, you know, the thing is that you fly so often, you're more likely to see these problems happening than the average traveler. And I'm like, in my head, like, what the hell are you talking about, bro? I mean, I'm like, so what you're saying is your excuse is that because I travel more than the average person, I would notice these things more than the average person. And that should make it okay. You know, I mean, I'm just not wrapping my head around that. But anyway, I'm like, whatever, man, just get me out there. So I get out to LA And of course, I got to land in LAX. So I get to LAX, I pull up my Uber. Oh, shit. Uber's on strike. The only option it gives me is a scooter. Like one of those skateboards with a handle on it, right? It literally, that's what you, when you pull up Uber in LAX, a little scooter with a handle on it. That's your option to go 60 miles, right? So then I got to download Lyft. I get the Lyft. It takes me an hour to get out there and $110. It's a $110 Lyft ride to get out to the Ontario Airport. So I say something to the customer service at American Airlines. Hey, you know, not my fault. You sent me to LAX. It cost me $110 to get over to Ontario. Is there anything we can do about that? No. Oh, okay. All right. Hey, sorry for the inconvenience, et cetera, et cetera. These things happen. These are trying times. Wow. Okay. So I'm just eating the $110. Fine. Whatever. So these things are adding up, you know, building up for me, right? So, and not to mention the fact, it's like midnight. Now, I've got to be on set at 8:45. I had gotten my call sheet, and the call sheet said, gave me the address where we were going. It was by LAX. I mean, I could have, you know, whatever. I mean, my place is out there. I mean, I was going to go there anyway, you know what I mean? But still, the thing that sucks is 8:45 a.m., if you're out in Studio City or Burbank or out in Ontario, California, it's a two-hour commute in, even though it's only between 40 and 60 miles, depending upon where I'm at. So I get to the set, right? Well, I get to where we were meeting, and then I get to the set. So with this one, and this is where things start getting a little bit crazy, right? So I auditioned for this, and it was, I can't say too much about, I don't want to give away what the company is or anything like this. So let me try to put it in general, so that I explain the story. There was the audition was for what seemed to be a blue collar guy. Now, this is what I'm mostly cast as anyway, is a blue collar guy. The callback still seemed that way. All right. So they sent me the call sheet. What time you got to be there? And they asked me to bring my wardrobe. Okay, no problem. And it shows me what I need. They're saying black pants. They're not specific about it. They say black pants. And then shoes that are indicative of the pants that you're wearing, even if they are athletic shoes. So still in my mind, now this is where it becomes my fault. My fault is that because I've done so many gigs, particularly commercials, I've done hundreds, right? I realize I fall into like this kind of calloused area where I assume what's going to be happening because I've done so many of them, and it all based on what the script is, based on the casting and all this kind of stuff, I can kind of get a grasp as to what it is that's going to go down when I show up, to the point where my own fault, I don't even ask questions. I just run with what I'm assuming is going to happen. Right. So because they weren't specific, because this whole time, I think that I'm going to be portraying like a blue collar kind of guy. Right. I pack up at the house, a couple of pair of dark black, you know, like a pair of black jeans, a pair of really dark blue, almost black jeans, and a pair of Dickie work pants. Now, and then shoes that are indicative of those. So I had some older brown dress shoes that I wear casually that are kind of, you know, kind of part of my look or whatever. I put in some work boots because I had to be indicative of the work pants because I'm assuming incorrectly that this is a blue collar guy, right? So, and I don't ask questions. I mean, come on, bro, ask questions, right? So, so I get there and, you know, everything's cool. You know, we're just meeting everybody and you go through the COVID screening and everything else, which is always kind of stressful because it's like, I know I'm fully vaccinated. I don't have any symptoms, et cetera, et cetera. I'm careful. I wear my mask. But you're still nervous that maybe I somehow got it, and now all of a sudden everything's going to be screwed up. So it kind of adds to the stress. Adding, and on top of that, the stress from the night before, right? So then, so they look, and the guy goes, "Don't you have any dress pants?" I said, "No, it didn't say to bring dress pants. It just said, this is what it said, you know." And he's like, "Okay," and I could tell he was disappointed. I'm like thinking to myself, "Jesus, I wish they would have been a little more specific, or I wish I would have asked, right?" And I just so happened to have had in my travel bag from the previous shoot, because I was dressed nicer in this previous commercial from the week before that, I had like a $500 pair of brown dress shoes in there. Okay. So I got these really nice brown leather dress shoes that I've only worn like three or four times. And I got these Dickie work pants. Now, the thing about me and Dickie work pants, I purposely buy them much bigger. So I only wear like, I mean, I only have like a 32 inch waist and my inseam is like 31. So I'm like 32, 31, but I buy them like 34, 34 because I like them to be baggy because I work in them. Right. So now the production company is in there. This isn't their fault. And the clients for all the different people that are involved with this commercial, and it's a 2-day shoot for commercials. They're watching remotely through Zoom. So he brings me over. He shows me now to them, it's not a big deal. They look and I've got their top on and, you know, I got the black jeans. But to me in my head, I can't get over the fact that I'm wearing these giant work pants. You know, you can't see me, but in my head, this is playing with my head, right? And I've got these $500 pair of brown shoes with these black Dickie work pants, you know, and their shirt. And so this is the anxiety a little bit is starting to build up, you know, and I'm starting to kind of feel like, man. And then all of a sudden they gave me the script the night before. But when I show up, there's a teleprompter, right? So I'm just skimming over it. Hey, no problem. Again, dude, ask. But no, what do I do? Assume, right? I assume we're using the teleprompter because that was kind of how everything was rolling up until that point. And then we're almost ready to go. And I said, who's running the teleprompter? Oh, the teleprompter's not for you. Okay. Like, yeah, the teleprompter is for the other person. Oh, he said, how are you doing on your lines? I'm like, right. So, and I got a break here in a second, but leading into the break, dude, I'm standing there under the lights. We're ready to go. I mean, this is a big production, right? I'm in these gigantic Dickie work pants with $500 brown dress shoes. And the camera's already going. I barely know the lines anyway, because I'm sitting here assuming that I'm going to be using the teleprompter. And they're like, action. And I'll tell you the rest in a second when I come back from our second commercial break. I'm Kevin Barbro. You're listening to Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy. Hey, Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a cannabis enthusiast, a cannabis professional, or interested in entering the cannabis space? I'm Johnny Tsunami, and this is Planet Baco Lolo, a less taboo view. On our show, we will discuss the cannabis world through the perspective of various cannabis professionals. Tune in every Thursday evening, Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m., Talk Radio NYC, Planet Baco Lolo, a less taboo view.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbro. You're listening on talkradio.nyc. Make sure that you come back to talkradio.nyc. You'll be able to download the podcast, or you can go to Apple, Spotify, or iTunes, and you can get the podcast there. Or you can just go to Facebook, and you'll be able to see the replay of the video. It's always up. So in any event, so I'm standing there, right? And my... Now, here's the deal with me. I never get nervous. I never get nervous. Maybe that's like a tick in my personality, but I never get nervous. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, maybe I just don't care enough to get nervous. You know what I mean? But I know that that's not the case. But in terms of like, you know, being on camera, saying lines, all this stuff, I've done it so many, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I don't get nervous whatsoever. I'm steady for anybody that's ever been in a production with me. They'll tell you, I'm that guy, right? So they say action. And dude, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I could remember not one line. And the more I was stumbling over it, the more I could feel it in my chest. My chest was like caving in. Like it was like I was having a hard time breathing, you know? And I'm starting to sweat, and I'm standing there and I'm trying to fight through it in my head, you know, but it's like for some reason in my head, I'm going through all of these things that had just happened, going back to the flight, to these things getting screwed up. And then, the pants that I'm wearing and the fact that I should have asked, you know, and all this stuff. And now all of a sudden we're filming, and the more I couldn't think of what I needed to say, the more, anxious I was getting. And I didn't realize this until I actually left that day to go home. I was having an anxiety attack. I was having like a panic attack. I've never had one in my whole life. And all I kept thinking to myself while I'm standing there is, I have to get through this. You know, there's this tiny part of me that while I'm standing there, I mean, I don't know if anybody listening can relate to this, but I'm sure that there are people that can relate to this where, like, for the first time in my life, I'm standing there and I'm thinking to myself, dude, I could walk out of here right now and just tell them to keep the money. Like in my head, I'm totally cool with that. Like, this is how anxious I am in that moment. I literally part of me was like, just get out of here, you know? And so I just got a message come through here. Sorry about that. Let me just check and see what that is. Man, who's hit me up here? Oh, nothing. Okay. Anyway, So I'm really anxious about it. But it's like, so we stopped that one scene, which was part of one of the two commercials for the day. And I go and sit down. I'm just like, man, wow, this is, you know, crazy. So I'm just running through my lines. And I'm just telling myself, obviously, it's cool. I mean, this is film. This is commercial. You know, you can stop and start as many times as you want to. It's not like I develop the film or anything. You know what I mean? All the things that I already know, I already inherently know, I had to remind myself of. And so everything kind of smooths out and it gets better over the course of the day. But I'm still not 100% because I'm just feeling anxious about how everything is going down, right? To the point where at the end of the day, I mean, we had to come back for the next day anyway. I even said to the director, I was like, dude, listen, man, I don't even know what to tell you, but that's not really indicative of me. I mean, he's like, no, don't worry about it. Dude, you sound great. You sound normal. You know, your delivery. That's why we picked you, you know? And I'm like, I know, but it's just not me. Right. So I'm driving back home and I'm trying to run through in my head what happened and how I can fix it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it would be nice if, you know, you could just walk away from something with no consequence because you feel stressed out or because you're having an anxiety attack. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you've got to make it through. And that was the situation I was in. I had to remind myself during the course of that panic attack, dude, you got a job to do. You need to rein it in and you need to get through this, which I did, you know. But on the way back home, I'm like, okay, so now I know what I need to do. So I had some really nice, you know, black dress pants, obviously. I mean, I got custom $4,000 custom suit, man. You know, I mean, I got plenty of stuff to wear if that's what they wanted, you know. So I roll back in the next day. Everything is cool. I said something to the AD and to the director. I said, listen, you know, sorry about yesterday again. I know you said it's not a big deal, but to me it was. And we're going to kick ass today. And so we did it. Okay. Life is good. Cooled it out. Reined it in. Then I got to get back to Atlanta because I'm filming on Saturday. Now this is Thursday. I wrap up the 2 days of filming out there. The next day I have an in-person callback in LA, which rare to have in-person callbacks right now, but you know, I had an in-person callback for a TV commercial. So I go into that. Then I head to the airport because I got to head back. Right. Got my bags packed. Life is good. Got on my clothes, blah, blah, blah. Everything that I need to head back for a few days before I ultimately go back this week, you know? But in any event, I get to, you know, I'm running a little late to the airport. Okay. Yeah, I could have left a few minutes early from the house, but what happened was I made the decision to stop at a TJ Maxx so I can get another luggage bag because I wanted to bring back some new work boots and stuff that I had just bought. Whatever, okay? I get to the airport. I get to car rental. Not car rental. I get to the parking lot. I get on the shuttle bus. I take the shuttle bus, and the shuttle bus so I'm running late. So this is where everything gets really crazy, and this is where the whole American Airlines is, right? So I'm on the shuttle, and this is the Ontario, California airport. There are only two terminals. There's only about 10 gates at each terminal. So my flight is at 3:50 p.m., meaning I have to be on the plane for the doors to close at 3:40. It's 3:00 and I've got two checked bags. I've already checked in and I'm flying first class as usual, right? On the shuttle makes an extra stop. It only makes that stop if somebody on the shuttle needs to stop at that stop. And of course, on this one time that I'm running a little late, somebody needs to stop there. Well, it's a USO building, so I can't really bitch about it because it's a veteran. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's the way it is, you know. So they stop. of course, American Airlines is the last terminal. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting and waiting, get off, run in, get to the counter. Now, when you check your bags have to be checked no later than 40 minutes before your flight is scheduled to depart. That would be 3:10, okay? I roll up to the counter at 3:12. She says, I'm sorry, I can't check your bags for you. I'm like, can you just, I mean, I know my fault, I'm late. I get it. It's my fault, I'm late. But can't we just put them, can't you just tag them and put them on there and see if they make it? Because, I mean, I don't understand why, like if it's 40 minutes at O'Hare and LAX and Atlanta and JFK, these are the four largest airports in America, in 40 minutes from the ticket counter to the plane, they can get my bag there. But you're saying that in 38 minutes, you can't get it from here to the to the gate right behind you because this is a tiny airport. I don't understand why you can't just put it on. Let them say, let the baggage people say no, you know? And she's like, no, you can't do it. I said, well, you know what? I got to get to Atlanta. I have to. This is the last flight out that I can make it home on, right? I have to get to Atlanta. My bags don't. So, you know, have at it. So she says, okay, well, there's a flight tomorrow morning. Good. I don't care. Do what you got to do. So then I'm standing there and she hands me two tickets. I'm like, what is this? She said, this is for your flight tomorrow morning. I said, whoa. I'm like, whoa. I'm leaving now. I'm already checked in on that flight. I'm leaving now. I don't care when you send my bags. She said, well, we can't fly your bags without you. Oh, really? That's interesting because multiple times in the last 2 months, I've arrived at an airport and my bags have been on another plane flying without me. So they can fly without me. You're just saying that you won't fly them without me. And I got to take my last commercial break so that I can finish up this story. But she says, no, I can't check them. You either have to leave now without your bags, period. Get somebody to come take your bags. I'm like, what am I? I got 20 minutes here. I'm going to get somebody to, or you can, she's like, well, then take them to cargo. This is the American Airlines lady, right? So anyway, let me take the last commercial break and I'll come back in a minute and finish the story. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Copy Talk XL on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
I
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc. So I'm at the ticket counter. The clock is ticking here now. I have to be at the gate by 3:40 for this 3:50 flight. I have to be on this flight. My call time for the next morning in Atlanta is 6 a.m. and a 90-mile drive, which I'll get to in a minute because none of that was listed in the casting. They sprung it on us at the end of business the day before that not only is it 6 a.m. call time, that it's a 90-mile drive one way to get to where we're filming at. So anyway, I may not even get to that. So I'm like, I have to leave. She said, well, you can't leave with your luggage. I said, listen, I don't want to pull this card out, but I fly first class all the time. I'm in the highest ranking here. I know that I was 2 minutes late. I get that, but I need you to help me figure out a solution to this. You know, I'm a loyal customer here, right? Help anything that you can do. She said, no, it's impossible. I said, what if I take it down to the baggage area? You know, the baggage room. Oh no, they don't store bags. Really? That's interesting because every time I go in there, there's a ton of bags. No, you can't do it. It's against our policy. Okay, so what you're saying is, I literally have to throw my bags away if I can't get somebody to take them for me. I have to throw them away in order to get on this plane. You're saying it's impossible for me to get on this plane with my bags, so I have to get rid of these bags in order to get on the plane. That's what you're telling me. She said, yeah, there's no other way. It's impossible. Okay, fine. Grab my bags. As I'm walking off, I said, listen, I'm still checked into that flight. Don't check me out of that flight. So now I'm walking around. The clock is ticking, right? Now I only have 10 to 15 minutes to get to the gate. And I've got these two bags that there is nothing I can do. I'm even thinking, I'm running through every scenario in my head. I'm firing through different airlines to see if there's a later flight. I'm scrambling. What am I going to do? I'm even considering in my head throwing away my two bags, literally thousands of dollars worth of clothes and shoes and whatever in there. I'm literally considering throwing them away. But then I'm like, where the hell am I going to throw them away? If I take these out into the parking lot, in my head, I'm like, I'll just find a giant bush and I'll just shove them in the bush and hope for the best. And then I'm like, dude, what are you going to do when you get to Atlanta and TSA arrests you because you created some big ass bomb scare at the Ontario airport? You left two bags outside the building, right? So I'm like, I can't figure this out. I'm completely stressing out, right? So I'm walking around. I see the baggage room that I was talking about earlier, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and ask this girl, right? So I'm walking over to it. Now, this is at opposite ends of the terminal, okay? There's no line of sight down to the ticket office. I go, as I'm walking in the door to the baggage area, right? As I'm walking in, I see the woman that's working there at the kiosk facing me on the phone. I knew. There was no doubt in my mind. I knew who she was on the phone with. This woman has never seen me before. She doesn't know what I'm going to come in and ask. And there's no way she can know what I'm going to come in and ask. But I knew that she was on the phone. And she looks at me. She looks up and looks at me. And then she goes, so we're not allowed to hold any bags here in the baggage area. I was like, son of a. I mean, I'm just at this point now, I'm livid. Like I was 2 minutes late, right? But this woman down at the ticket counter, right, took it upon herself to, she couldn't even see me. And this is 5 minutes later, you know what I mean? And for all she knew, I left. She took it upon herself to call. She had to be watching me, you know? So she calls down to the baggage girl to tell her, don't help him. So she's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. No, you're not sorry. I mean, at this point, I'm pissed. I'm beyond the part of about the 2 minutes. Okay. Now I feel like this woman just trying to not help me. Right. So I walk out. I've got 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes to get to the gate, or that plane is leaving without me. And I'm not going to make the call time for a huge ass commercial, a national commercial in Atlanta the next day. I'm about ready to screw myself, right? I got 5 minutes. I have no option. I mean, I literally don't, there's not even a trash bin for me to throw my bags in, because I was ready to do it. Throw them in a trash bin. I'm walking past the counter. It says passenger assistance, USO, coincidentally, right? Because it was the USO stop that made me the 2 minutes late. And it was an old guy and an old lady, right? We're talking like 90s. And the woman says, "Are you okay? Is there anything I can help you with?" And I'm like, you know, because I got like 5 minutes. I'm like, I give her the Reader's Digest version. They won't let me out with my bags. I have nowhere to put my, I don't know what to do. I for the first time in my life, I am helpless right now. I don't know what to do, but I have to leave on this flight. Is there anything that you can do to help me? Can I store my bags somewhere? I mean, anything. And she's like, there's just nothing I can do. I wish there was something I can do. I feel terrible for you. And then all of a sudden, the old guy says, "Hey, son, just take the bags upstairs to TSA. Make them say no." And I'm like, you know what? Hell yeah, bro. I'm like, I'm going to make them say no, right? I'm not going to listen to this lady down. Dude, I'm TSA pre-check. So if you're TSA pre-check, you know, you're just running in and you don't have to take your belt off or shoes off. You don't have to empty your bags, any of that bullshit, right? You're just in, right? But I've never even seen, only one time in my life have I seen, and I fly all the time, I've never seen somebody take regular baggage up to the TSA counter. I've only ever seen, except one time, somebody have big bags, you know what I mean? And that one time happened to be on my flight out here, out to LA. It was that morning, that day, you know, a few days before that, I saw a guy with a big bag, and I remember thinking to myself, the hell's he going to do with that? That's, you can't put that carry on, right? Never thought of it again until right then when I'm standing there. And so the TSA girl is there, and I put the bag, I said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do with this." And she goes, "Worry about it. As long as it fits in the scanner, we'll scan it. We don't care." And I'm like, "Oh, really? Well, that's interesting. Note to self," right? So anyway, she's scanning it through. Dude, I got less than, I'm down to like 4 minutes. I can hear them announcing my name. First class customer, right? Final call. The boarding doors are going to close, right? So my bags were packed to be checked. They weren't packed to be carried on and go through this. So my first big bag comes through, no problem. Second one gets shuffled over. I'm at the end. I'm like, "Ma'am, please, I'm begging you. Please do this as fast as you can. Whatever's in there that I'm not supposed to have, throw it out. I don't care. Matter of fact, throw the whole effing thing out. I don't care. Take the whole thing. I don't care. I have to get on this flight. I have to get to the gate right now or they're going to leave without me." So she opens it up, takes out the can of shaving cream and shampoo, zips it up. I run down to the gate. Now, as I said before, there's only like 10 gates in this place, right? I run up to the gate and the door is still open, thank God. And I'm standing there with two big ass bags in my backpack, you know? And I say to the girl, "I'm at your mercy. I don't know what to do with these things. You know, I've got to be on this flight." And she goes, "Oh, no problem. We'll just check them." I'm like, "Okay." So she goes over to the computer, prints off the exact same foldable baggage ticket, hands me the same exact baggage claim slip that you get downstairs. She even has the orange priority slips that they have downstairs to mark first class customers. That's how they know to get them off the plane first. She has everything at the ticket gate that they have downstairs, everything, right? So she prints it all. And I say, do I need to pick these up at the plane in Phoenix on my connector and then recheck? No, we're just going to check them all the way to Atlanta. And I'm like, okay, I said, listen, I know I got to get on the plane. I know I got less than like 1 minute here, but I'm just going to tell you, A of all, thank you so much for helping me. Like, this is, you've saved a huge, horrible situation from happening. Thank you so much. B of all, the woman downstairs said, impossible. She literally told me, impossible for me to leave with my luggage on this flight. She said that I literally would have to throw away my luggage in order to get on this flight. And you're telling me this is no big deal. TSA is telling me no big deal. Just bring them up here and just scan them through. So obviously this happens all the time. You have the same exact baggage claim information and materials up here as you do downstairs. Why wouldn't she just say that? Knowing that I'm first class customer, knowing that I'm desperate in this situation, and I was only 2 minutes late, all this woman had to do was say, I don't know if they'll do it or not, but you can try taking them up to the gate and see if they'll check them. That's all she had to say. This went beyond the fact that, like, I was 2 minutes late. This woman, and I'm telling you, man, I'm livid at American Airlines at this point, right? And I get, I don't want anybody to hit me up about the fact I was 2 minutes late. I get that I was 2 minutes late. That all ended when she went out of her way to not help me. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I'll tell you what it was. It was the difference between her telling me I can't help you and her telling me I won't help you. That was exactly what that was. She wasn't telling me she can't help me. She was telling me that she refused to help me. To even give me any advice whatsoever and tell me she took the route that impossible to get on that flight, let alone I got on a flight, got to Atlanta, filmed my commercial, and my bags are right here. So anyway, that is my ridiculous couple of weeks. I'll let you brew on it. I'm going to be back next Tuesday. I got a special guest next week. Gabby Perez, she is a physical, well, she was actually a kickboxing coach that was one of my kickboxing coaches years ago. She started her own business. She's doing great. We're going to talk about health and fitness and her husband and their quest to leave the corporate world and carve their own path, which I love so much. She's going to be on the show next week. And then the week after that, we've got Christine Nagy is going to be on. She is the Morning Drive host on the number one Morning Drive show in New York City. She's awesome. We're going to be talking acting. We're going to be talking radio and all that kind of stuff. So great couple of weeks coming up. Every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. live. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You listen to Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.